Good morning. Good morning, and friends, welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. And whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are so glad that you found your way to this community. Take a look through your bulletin. There are announcements and a calendar and all sorts of opportunities for worship and fellowship, mission, and learning. If you have any questions, there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship today. Don't hesitate to ask that person a question. Also, those hospitality registers, as we continue our series on Mr. Rogers and Won't You Be My Neighbor, it seems like learning each other's names is a good first step in that neighborliness. And we have quite a few announcements this morning. First, confirmands, anyone in 8th or 9th grade or really high school, if you have not been confirmed and are looking to learn more about this amazing faith journey known as confirmation, let me know and we will be getting started next Sunday. All right, Al.
Good morning. Yesterday we had a very energetic group of Gates Presbyterian people help serve a great goulash meal at St. Joseph's. Had rave reviews from all the customers and served almost all we made, so they were hungry and it must have tasted pretty good. I want to say thank you to all the people that donated their time and their money, because the money you donated just covered all the things we needed to buy on the food list. It worked out perfect. So that's a great thing. And all the people that donated food for the food prep that we did Friday night. If you're feeling sorry that you missed out on all that fun, we're going to do it again in December. So the third weekend in December, we'll serve another St. Joseph's meal. So thank you for making it happen.
Good morning. Yes, it's come to this. I feel a little bad. I see the church mouse getting ready here. If I had like a giant stuffed donut, I would have brought it for cleanup. But our annual fall cleanup will be this Saturday, October 27th, starting at 8:30. It's a great opportunity to share in some fellowship as we get our church grounds ready for the very mild winter ahead. We can dream, right? Generally try to be wrapped up before noon, if not earlier. Stop by for an hour or all morning. Refreshments will be provided. More hands make for quick work. We have tasks and donuts for all ages. Thanks.
Whit.
Saturday, November 10th, the Food Link food truck will be here at Gates Presbyterian in our parking lot to distribute food to the public. We need volunteers. Please sign up on the kiosk. There will be mechanical equipment to get the pallets of food off the truck, but we need to take it from the pallets, put it on tables, and hand it out to the public, and we'll be given instruction as to how much of each item to give out. Please sign up on the kiosk, November 10th. Thank you.
The church mouse makes a comeback.
Good morning. I'm Tess McKeel. I'm one of the co-chairs of our Church Mouse Bazaar, and Sue Mancini is up here with me and with Charlie Church Mouse, who has been with us for 41 years. So this is our 41st annual Church Mouse, so we've been going strong for a long time. I want to bring your attention to the sign-up sheet that is in your bulletin. There's also a sign-up out on the kiosk. We need lots of volunteers to help make this go. Every year, there are tons and tons of people to help with all of the setup, with food, with cleanup, with hostessing. So we need lots of people to make this go. We also need you to help us advertise. So there are flyers out on the table, out in the foyer. You can pick them up, pass them out to your friends, hang them up at your school or at your library or at your grocery store, wherever you want to send these out. So come join us on November 17th, and we'd love to see you there.
Thank you. now, friends. Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Would you please join me in the call to worship? The Spirit has called us to this place. We lift our voices.
We lift our hearts.
We praise, we pray, we dance, we serve.
Let us join our hearts and voices together in a time of confession. God of wonders and wanderers, we come together to confess that we are misers in a world of plenty, misers of hope, misers of joy, misers of love. When we are comfortable, confront us. When we are filled, empty us. Walk with us, we pray, as we proclaim your grace. Indeed, the good news is this: even in unexpected places, especially in unexpected places, God's grace abounds. God's grace abounds. There is peace that the world did not give us, a peace that the world cannot take away. Now, as we continue our sermon series, worship series with Miss Rogers, I noticed last Sunday, many of you sang along without the words. Well, as the children come forward, you're welcome to stay seated, and you've got the words this time. So sing along. Children, as you come forward. excellent job, congregation. Wait. Did you do your homework? What did you learn in school? Oh, my goodness. That is so true. What a... About how we want to be bucket fillers, not emptiers. That actually goes really well with sermon, where we want people to fill our buckets with love. You should do the children's sermon next Sunday. Do you think that would be all right? Because you've got it. I love it. Did anyone else do the homework over the week of watching a little bit of Mr. Rogers? Anyone? Anyone a little? You didn't? You didn't. It's okay, because you know, I've got technology working today. I'm cursing myself now, but because I've got a clip and our song this Sunday. Are you ready to watch along with me?
Okay. There are many ways to make pictures and letters and clouds and... There are many ways to tell and show people you love them. There are many ways to say I love you. There are many ways to say I care about you. Many ways, many ways, many ways to say. Just by being there when things are sad and scary. Just by being there, being there, being there to say I love you. Cleaning up a room can say I love you. Hanging up a coat before you're asked to do it. Drawing special pictures for the holidays. And making plays. You'll find many ways to say I love you. You'll find many ways to understand what love is. Many ways, many ways, many ways to say I love you. As you grow, I trust that you are finding many more ways to show and tell people that you love them. Those are the most important things that you'll ever learn to do. Because loving people and animals and the world we all live in is the most important part of being alive.
We're filling that bucket with love. And no matter how teeny tiny we might be, no matter how much older or smarter we think that we are, there are so many different kinds and so many different ways to say I love you. I think my favorite, definitely cleaning up your room. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. Do you guys have a favorite way that you say it? That's kind of boring. Do you all have a favorite way of saying I love you? Do you have a favorite? What's your favorite? When you pray? Yes, that's one way. How about anyone else? What's a way you say I love you to someone? What do you do? Hugging? Yes. Oh. What about, is there something nice that you might be able to do for someone today to show that you love them? That's what I'm going to leave for you for homework today. Find one way, a hug, a picture, picking up your room or your coat, calling maybe a grandma or grandpa who lives far away and hasn't heard from you in a while, just to say, I love you. Can you pray with me? Dear God, you have showed us many ways to say I love you. Help us to show your love every day. Amen. Amen. All right. You all have fun at Sunday school. You know another great way to say I love you? High five. It's one of my favorites. Nice.
Is taken from the book of 1 John chapter 4, 7 to 21. Again, 1 John chapter 4, 7 to 21. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone knows who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed amongst us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in us, those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love one another, brother and sister whom they have seen, cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord. Thank you.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. And then he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." And then Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my head and my hands." And Jesus said to him, "Yeah, one who has bathed does not need to wash except the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." And after he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. For very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their masters, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. And if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Verses from the Gospel of John resonate in our ears and our hearts as the text from Maundy Thursday of Holy Week. During the Last Supper, Jesus demonstrated for his disciples the love he preached and lived his entire life. So the context for which he was living out of was never easy. Jesus was born into occupation under the threat of death from that day in a manger in Bethlehem to here in Jerusalem in this upper room. And the disciples knew something was up. Something very big was about to happen. And I think they also knew the dangers they faced following this man who challenged them time and time again to be his disciples, loving as he loved. A love that has no hierarchy, no us and them, no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, as Paul would later write to the church in Galatia. This was a love that insisted that despite the current political oppression of persons based on race and religion, or even how clean or unclean they thought they were, God's love is for all. and this new commandment that Jesus would offer them in the verses that follow were to love one another just as Jesus loved them. And it is only by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for another. And Jesus knew his disciples in particular would struggle through the events of Holy Week. Remember that even those who loved Jesus the most would betray him, deny him, abandon him. Those who called Jesus teacher and friend would, in word and action, demonstrate just how challenging living out God's love in this world could be. So it's fun and easy to have a nice song. There are many ways to say I love you. To share that with our children and encourage them. To draw pictures, to clean up their room. Those small things. But as the disciples are preparing for Jesus' death, Jesus demonstrates the struggle, how difficult it is to love, not just the love he has for them, but calls their attention to what this love, no matter how imperfect they may or may not be doing it, what this love has done to them. Do you know what I have done to you? Jesus asks them. This is such a small little nuance in the text, one I hadn't really noticed before. But by washing their feet, by upending their sense of who should serve whom, Jesus makes them into people who have been served, people who have been loved. They become people who have been changed by this love. And as Jesus explains the foot washing, he describes serving others as an act of love that changes people who receive that gift. And watching again the Mr. Rogers documentary this summer, and considering our current racial climate in our nation, a significant amount of attention has been placed on a man named Francois Clemens, a young man from Youngstown, Ohio, where he describes that growing up in a black ghetto where your neighbor was black, your minister was black, your doctors were black, the apothecary was black. It was a rough go for Francois as he describes his growing up. And this young man had an incredible musical talent that earned him a scholarship and then on to a master's program at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. And this was where he would eventually meet Fred Rogers and be invited to appear as the character Officer Clemens.
Everyone remembers Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day.
But not everyone knows that this cardigan-clad king of children's TV, Fred Rogers, was actually a pioneer who challenged racial stereotypes in media. Enter Francois Clemens.
Francois Scarborough Clemens.
And his role as Officer Clemens made him one of the first recurring black characters on a children's TV show.
When I started, there were 2-3 shows, period, on television that employed a black character.
Francois grew up during the civil rights movement and times of great racial tension in the U.S.
So when Fred asked me to be a police officer, Fred, are you sure? Do you know what policemen represent in the community where I was raised? And then he started talking about children needing helpers and the positive influence that I could have for young children. My heart opened as I listened to him.
He accepted the role, not knowing he would end up playing Officer Clemens for 30 years. And one of his most memorable scenes is also one of his favorites.
There are many ways to say I love you.
It's a very big deal for me to be putting my feet in the water with Fred.
During a time of segregation, the symbolism wasn't lost on Francois.
To say that he didn't know what he was doing, or that he accidentally stumbled into integration or talking about racism or sexism, that's not Mr. Rogers. It was well planned and well thought out, and I think it was very impactful.
There are many ways to say I love you.
That impact was felt by many, but for Francois, it was personal.
I was in the studio one day. That particular day, he was filming the end of the show. And when he got to the part, he said, "You make every day a special day."
You know how? By just your being you.
And I swear it was like he was looking right into my eyes. And when the music stopped, I said, "Fred, were you talking to me?" And he said, "Yes, I have been talking to you for years, but you heard me today."
The episode that Francois was referring to, the first time that Mr. Rogers and Francois Clemens placed their feet into a wading pool, aired on the heels of the one-year anniversary of the assassination of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The race riots had spread across cities like Rochester and New York City, Chicago, and Pittsburgh, where Mr. Rogers' neighborhood was filmed. Children and adults alike saw images flashing across television screens of angry white folk throwing bleach at black people to deter them from desegregating swimming pools. As Francois said in the clip, Mr. Rogers did not make this choice by accident, to invite Officer Clemens to place his feet in the same swimming pool as Mr. Rogers' white feet on a hot summer day in 1969. Now, there were many ways people engaged in protests for civil rights, and Francois was one, like many, who picked up signs in protest and marched. Fred wasn't one for street protesting, but deeply understood the importance of advocating for racial integration through relationship and connection. After all, there are many ways to say I love you. And the pair would go on to redo the scene in their final episode together in 1993. And to Francois, it perfectly reflected Fred Rogers' soul. He said, "We join together in this spiritual destiny, and that's what bound us so strongly." But you see, that was not always the case. Francois was pretty skeptical about playing the part of a police officer. In light of the riots and his own experience in the neighborhood, he met too many officers who dealt mostly in violence and bribes. But Mr. Rogers convinced him. He had this opportunity to demonstrate the ways that police officers can be helpful, trustworthy, reliable. In turn, another message was being sent to African Americans during the 60s, that they could and did occupy trusted positions of authority. What Fred Rogers did to Francois Clemens was to show the ways that his life and the lives of the viewers could be changed by showing unconditional love. A powerful, controversial, a political demonstration of love during that time. But even Mr. Rogers was challenged in the ways he practiced and lived out love. Mr. Rogers, obviously, is not Jesus. He was a disciple of Jesus, as we talked about last week, an ordained Presbyterian minister, and he was limited by his own time and context and struggles. And that quote that's in your bulletin and was in the slide before really sums that up quite perfectly. that love isn't a perfect state of caring. It's an active noun, like struggle. To love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly the way he or she is, right here and now. Now, the lesser known story of Mr. Rogers and Francois Clemens was that a couple months into his new role, Francois was spotted at a gay bar, and word got out. He hadn't told Fred about his sexuality. And Mr. Rogers was dumbstruck. He found himself paralyzed by a culture of fear and what-ifs. And at that time, Mr. Rogers was unwilling to address the topic like he had race in such a prophetic way. He even encouraged Francois to marry a woman, which he did, and inevitably the marriage failed. And as the years went by, it was the friendship that Fred Rogers had with Francois, and also his best friend, John Reardon, who was gay, that really changed Mr. Rogers' heart. "Do you know what I have done to you?" Jesus asked. And in this case, what was done to Mr. Rogers was a demonstration of love that was persistent, patient, and forgiving. In multiple interviews, Clemens emphasized that Mr. Rogers never closed the conversation about Clemens' sexuality, and neither did he. "He was the one person I could talk to about being gay," Francois said. It was through these discussions that Fred Rogers realized that he had made a mistake. And this time, Mr. Rogers was on the receiving end of grace and love that he didn't deserve. Francois, though, had recognized Fred as having an incredible capacity to love, a willingness to love, to struggle love, no matter how imperfectly he did it. It's so easy for us to get confused about what our love is for and about. It's not to earn God's favor and love, and it's not because we deserve to be the people who love others. Jesus washes his disciples' feet because that is who Jesus is. Not because they are more worthy of it than others. Jesus washes the feet of Judas, who will betray him, and Peter, who will deny him, and the disciples, who will close their hearts to the possibility of his love. Jesus doesn't put the conditions on love that he gives out. He doesn't ask who earned it or who has done it perfectly. He offers it. See, this word love puts our life, puts our relationships, puts our hopes and dreams for all of God's creation in a very different light. It reminds us that there is another way beyond fear, beyond worry, beyond prejudice, beyond hate and hurt. It reminds us that the very foundations of our faith calls us to love our God with all our heart and mind and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Indeed, as people of faith, we have many ways to say, "I love you." We have many ways to understand what love is. We have many ways to say, "I love you," to our God and neighbor, and may we be forever changed by them. May it be so, now and always. Amen. This morning, in response or reflecting on the ways in which we say I love you, I invite you to stand. We're going to join our voices together in song and spoken word. It's all printed there in your bulletin, a familiar tune. Please stand and let us join our hearts together. Out of love, you swept over the waters and hovered over the face of the deep. Your love created all that was, all that is, and all that will be. Out of love, you brought your people out of oppression. Your love gave them a law and a land. When their love for you failed, your love remained steadfast. And so together we sing. Because of love, you gave us prophets to challenge and guide, visionaries, dancers, dreamers, and scoundrels. Because of love, you sent Jesus of Nazareth, the full expression of your love. He healed the sick, he ate with sinners, he loved with abandon. Because of love, Jesus called together his disciples. So together we sing. Passionate One, teach us, as Jesus did, to love our neighbors, our unhoused neighbors, our immigrant neighbors,
our neighbors of different faiths,
or who have no faith at all,
our LGBTQ neighbors,
our neighbors living under the oppression of racism,
our neighbors whose voices and experience are silenced.
Empower us, O God of creation, to love our neighbors because out of love you first loved us. And so together we sing. as we continue our time of prayer, we bring those prayers of joy, those prayers of concern, together with one another as we hold each other up in prayer. If you have a prayer of joy or concern, just raise your hand. An usher will bring a microphone or throw it at you, one of the two. It's all good. It's all good. Any prayers of joy or concern today?
This is Hannah Walker. My neighbor across the alley, my good friend, she's been very sick, and her husband finally took her to emergency, and her red count was way up. And I just pray because she's not feeling good at all.
We'll pray, Hannah, for your neighbor and good friend, that health be restored.
Janice Bilalovic. I'd just like prayers for my neighbor and friend, Mary, who had hip surgery on Friday, and she's in rehab right now and just having a tough time.
Hi, Keith Morgan. I'd like to ask for prayers for Randy Friedman and his daughter, Lisa. She is dying with breast cancer. He's attending her deathbed now. And she has two sons, 8 and 10. And we want to ask for prayers for the whole family.
Prayers for Lisa and her entire family.
Good morning, Eric Vail. I'd ask for prayers for my father, who this past Friday was diagnosed with bladder cancer. It is treatable, which is the good news of it, but your prayers would be much appreciated, and I'll make sure that he knows that we did pray for him. Thank
prayers
you.
For your dad, Eric. Prayers of joy this week, as many from our Riverside neighborhood, part of our Presbyterian family, joined together to learn more about Rock Salt Mission Center and the ways in which GPC has also been an important part of helping to serve here in the city of Rochester, and it was a great gathering of folks on Thursday. Let us continue our time of prayer. Gracious God, as those who strive to follow Jesus in our living and trust your power in our dying, we recognize in ourselves the strengths and weaknesses of Jesus' disciples. Although they loved him, they disappointed and failed him. And yet, gathering with these imperfect friends, Jesus washed their feet in service, called them to love one another, and invited them to share in his very life and in acceptance of the road ahead. We are humbled, honored, and inspired by this deep love Christ extended to the world. And we take seriously the calling to be the body of Christ today. God, we offer prayers for all those places where there is hurting and pain, disappointment, discouragement, sometimes just the everyday struggles of being alive. Open our hearts to those moments of love shown by friends and loved ones, and even strangers. For God, we know that is what you call us to do. To then be strengthened and in turn share that love with so many. We ask these prayers, both spoken aloud and those in the silence of our hearts, as we say together the prayer your Son Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let us now with joy and thanksgiving offer a portion of what God has entrusted to us to care for this world. Let us receive the morning offering.
almighty and loving God, all good gifts come from you. We bring to you the gifts that you've freely given us. Lord, you've taught us that faith is a verb and not a noun. May we use this offering to demonstrate your love to us by serving our brothers and sisters, not just here in Rochester, but in various parts of the world, because you have commanded us to love one another as you have loved us. Amen.
Now don't put your hymnals away. We do have our congregational response song. We're going to try again this Sunday. We thought maybe it'd be a little easier if everyone was looking at the music. It's a little tricky, but I have faith in us. So we go from this place knowing indeed that God calls us to love in the midst of the struggle, when it is difficult and challenging, when it is easy and convenient. In all these times and places, God calls us to love. So go knowing that you are filled with the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and given courage from the Holy Spirit that it takes to keep on loving now and always. Alleluia.